This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're studying in the book of Romans, and we're considering now chapter 5. Join us, won't you? Therefore, the first word of chapter 5 connects us with what has been said in chapter 4. My friend Mr. Gibbs from Chicago says, whenever you see a therefore, look and see what that therefore is there for. Therefore, being justified by faith refers us back to what was said at the close of chapter 4, that just as Abraham was justified by believing God, this is for us also, to whom it shall be imputed or counted, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, when I received Christ as my Savior, God counted me righteous. He gave me a righteous standing. Therefore, being justified, or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Revised Version says, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Both are true. We do have peace. God has given us this peace. But now he'd like us to enjoy this peace. Do you have peace with God? Now, this is not a peaceful feeling. This is not even being at peace about our problems and difficulties. That's a separate subject introduced in the fourth chapter of Philippians, for instance. But here he's talking about a declared state of war being changed into a declared state of peace. Because the Lord Jesus took my place and I have received him as my Savior, and because God has justified me, given me a right standing, has put down to my credit righteousness, therefore I can have peace with God. I know that there's no longer enmity. I know that he has accepted me in the Beloved One. So I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through my own good works, not through ordinances, not through the church, not through what any man has said to me, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fifth chapter of Romans divides naturally into two parts. The first 11 verses tell us what God has done for the individual. Beginning at verse 12 and finishing the chapter, he tells us what God has done for the race, for the human race. Let's consider the first part of this, which begins and ends with a statement about our Lord Jesus Christ. The first verse tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the 11th verse tells us that we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or more properly, the reconciliation. Atonement was what the Lord Jesus did for us, but reconciliation is what the effect of that in ourselves, what it does for us and to us. We are reconciled to God. We are brought to God, then, by the mediation of another. Because the Lord Jesus took our place and gave us his place. So he goes on to say in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So by means of the Lord Jesus we have access. Now I entered a certain family. I got access to that family. I was accepted in that family because I married a member of that family. There was no reason why I should be accepted in that family except that I was accepted in my wife. There's no reason why I should be accepted in heaven, or you either. But when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have access. We can come into the presence of God. We can call him our Father. We know that heaven is our home. And all of this, we stand in by grace, into this grace wherein we stand. Now remember that grace means the unmerited favor of God, God's kindness given to us who did not deserve it. And so we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now hope in the Bible never means what we take it to mean in our common use of the word. If I say I hope so, I literally mean I don't think it's so, but I wish it were. But when in the Bible we're told that we have hope, it means that we have assurance that's based upon the promise of God. It's a sure hope. And so we're looking forward to the glory of God. There was a time when I feared to face the glory of God. I could think of nothing more awful than to have to stand before God in all His glory. But now that I know that I'm reconciled to Him through the death of His Son and can call Him my Father, of course this is a bright hope, and it is for you too if you're a believer. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now this is the same word as rejoice in verse 2 and the word joy in verse 11. So we not only joy in God and in hope of the glory of God, but we even joy in our tribulations. How can we? Well, not in the tribulation itself, of course, but in the good results. A young fellow going to college doesn't particularly rejoice in the fact that he has to work so hard in order to keep up with his studies. But he rejoices in the good results. And he appreciates that education enough that he's willing to pay for it. And so God teaches us that tribulation produces in Christians what an education ought to produce in the mind of children and young people. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, or literally approvedness, and approvedness, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. This is not a hope that's going to disappoint us. We have been through the medium of difficulties and trials in our lives. We have been made to know more of God and to appreciate more of what God has for us, and so to be approved of God in our daily life. Now this hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, or poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. This is the first mention in the book of Romans of love. He'll have more to say about this. He tells us later in this chapter, in verse 8, that God commendeth His own love, or proved His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proved His love. Am I talking to some Christian today who's troubled about the experiences of life and you wonder if God loves you? Never judge the love of God by your circumstances. Rather, judge your circumstances by the love of God. Remember that God proved His love in the death of His Son. Now this love He wants to pour into our hearts. And as He does so, He not only fills and satisfies our hearts, but then we have something that we in turn can pour out on others. It's humanly impossible to love others the way God wants us to do, but He gives us that love. He pours that love into our hearts, into our inner beings, by means of the Holy Spirit. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans also. A great deal will be said about Him a little bit later on, especially in chapter 8. The Holy Spirit Himself is the power for Christian living. And so He says in verse 6, when we were yet without strength, when we were helpless, that is before the Holy Spirit came to give us strength to live for Him, when we were totally helpless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. If you're trying to do something for salvation, I beg of you to take time to study Romans 5 and verse 6. And when you see that Christ did what you can't do, and that salvation is yours through faith in Him, then the Holy Spirit will come in and you'll have strength to live for Him. Then he points out that hardly anyone would die for a righteous man, although for a good man, a benefactor, some might. But in contrast to that, God showed His love toward us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. There was no good in us. Now, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, we're said to be justified by His grace. That is, that's the source of justification. We're justified by His blood. That's the means of justification. We're justified by faith. That's how it becomes ours. And James tells us we're justified by works. That's how we prove that we have been justified. It isn't that our works counts for our justification, but that our works prove that we have been made right with God. So we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He tells us in verse 10 that when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Now that we have been reconciled, we are being saved by his life. That's his present life for us at the right hand of God. No wonder he says we joy in him. Now he introduces a subject in verse 12 concerning the two heads of the race. I was born into Adam's family, and he wants me to see that through Christ I've been transferred over to God's family, to the Lord Jesus' posterity. And he says that through what Adam did, I became a sinner. Through what Christ has done, I become justified. I become right with God. Now I have nothing to do with Adam's sin. And I had no part in Christ's finished work. I became a child of Adam by birth. I become a child of God by the new birth. And so I'm brought into the justification of life. I belong to a new federal head. And so he tells us that sin abounded, yes, but grace much more abounded, so that grace reigns now unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Our Lord. How wonderful it is to have this complete justification, to be made near to God, to be reconciled to him, and to enjoy his love, to enjoy his help, and to enjoy that coming day, the prospects of his return and his glory. Father, we thank thee for thy word and for these wonderful truths. We pray thee to bless them to us and take our thanks in our Savior's precious name. Amen.